Everybody, this is part B of that episode that I started on the weekend. Yes. Anyway, alright. Now I'm going to review A Wind Named Amnesia. But before that, the AMV of the week, like I started to say. AMV of the week. We are the pirates who don't do anything. Oh, it's that song. With Cowboy Bebop. The AMV is called The Bounty Hunters That Don't Do Anything. It's on the site. Go check it out or look it up on your YouTubes and your animemusicvideos.org. Very well done. Has a little bit of tropes I don't like, but it's mostly nice and hilarious because I fucking love that song. Kaze no na wa Amuneja, also known as Wind of Amnesia, or A Wind Named Amnesia. It's actually based on a book. A novel. It's based on a novel from Hideyuki Kikuchi. Something I found out later after watching it. And I think this is my fifth time watching it in my life. Yeah, every time. The first time I'm like, wow. The second and so on times were like, snark, snark. Laugh at that part. Awesome at that part. And so on. In the far off year of 1999. Yeah, you heard me. A strange wind just blows across the entire earth. Next thing you know, boom, dumb shits. Everyone is dumb shits. It's the dumb shit wind. But no, basically everyone just forgotten basically who they were. What to do, how to do it. In other words, we're all cavemen again. Barbarians, with just the basic needs that we know, like hunger and killing, supposedly. In other words, all the modern society just goes to waste. Everyone's just animals, just fighting to survive. You know, survival of the fittest type of shit. Old people get out the way, kids get out the way. I'm about to go eat some shits. And it's based in America. This whole story is based in America, which you don't see much with anime, mostly, because anime comes from Japan. But that's one of the things that makes this unique. And the story focuses on Wataru. Yeah, basically someone named him Wataru. I'll get to that. Wataru has, somewhat survived this, and ends up on this military base where he meets Johnny, who's this kid in a wheelchair who has a computer brain, so, you know, the amnesia wind didn't affect him. Basically, he helps reteach Wataru for his new place in the world. To be a traveler, that's what Wataru means, or so they said. Traveler, teaching people, learning from them, learning new things. And trying to get civilization back on track by yourself. Big job, little man. Big fucking job. You know, just basically searching for survivors. Teach all these dumb shit some new tricks. Try and reverse this shit. Maybe not can't reverse the entire world, but you know what I mean. And on his adventures, he finds this strange woman, who's also not affected. But she basically says at the beginning, well, near the beginning, that, yes, my people shouldn't have done this. So you know she's not just a woman. You know she's some sort of other being. But yet she explained this a second time in the film, and Wataru's like, what? But I'll get to that. Because that kind of just like, dude. And the movie's basically in these, segments. I could say just, it's like a three-parter. This could have been an OVA with three episodes, the way it was set up. The first one dealt with them going to, they're traveling to New York, because she asked to go to New York, and they're traveling across the country. They stop off in this one major city, where these people worship this giant construction machine as God, and girl's gonna be sacrificed, and she's a little cutie, but of course she's dumb shit. Protected by, father, you could say, father, uncle, relative. And really, it's like, it does show that even when, like, say if we were just dumbed down to our basic needs, to basically our ancient cave people ways, I guess, that you still recognize relatives, you still recognize bloodlines, or maybe there's still a faint memory of such. And that shows in this short segment, shows that you still have that caring, loving aspect towards someone, those feelings towards someone, even if you can't convey it in the way that we can, which is speech or, you know, movement. They just have grunts and gabbles. And, you know, they just portray their feelings that way. The way he, Little John, was his name, was just so careful with Sue, which was her name. And basically, with a little misadventure with these two in the first city, then they go to this other city where everything's perfect as if the amnesia never happened. A super advanced city that they never gave the reason why it was built in the first place. But there are two people there, Mr. Simpson and Lisa, which I'm not sure if this is true. I kind of doubt this is true, but being that this came out in like the 1990, and Simpsons came out in like 89 and was popular, then maybe, just maybe, that's a reference to the Simpsons, but I'm probably very, very wrong. Someone has to call me on that. Yeah, someone leave me some feedback on that point, but I think I'm very wrong. It's just that, you know, Mr. Simpson and Lisa, I'm a fucking geek, what do you expect? I'm sure I'm not the first one to ever think of that. Anyway, this is my favorite segment of the movie because, I don't know, these two characters, they're the only two people in the entire advanced city with robots attending to their every whim, feeding them. They can live in comfort. They never even have to know about the outside world. They do know about it. And the amnesia did sweep across there and many humans did die, but since now they're the only two people in the city's basically playing with them. Someone has to fill the roles of all those people they used to take care of. Mayor, nurse, janitor. It's like basically someone playing pretend all the time. And of course, through some sort of a small montage and a 5-minute conversation, I see the error of my ways. Let me go with you. But yeah, they don't end up going with them. And then they fought. It's after like some more montage of places they went. And a sex scene out of nowhere. Yeah, seriously. Alright, this is the second time this chick basically admitted my people did this as a test, as an experiment. And instead of like, you know, giving this woman a shot to the head or like just backslapping her, they do it. My theory is sex forgives all, even global destruction. Yeah. Also, throughout the movie, there is this robot, a self-repairing robot to help with the riots of, it was created to help with the riots and all the people, basically like a patrol bot. Kind of reminds me of, like, think of a Pat Libber, except, you know, even more dangerous, I guess. And works on its own, self-repairs, and is after Wataru, after a little run-in at the beginning of the movie. And this happens all throughout. When they get to New York, they have a final showdown together. And she goes back to her little planet, or wherever she came from. And it kind of just ends very meh. I mean, really? This seemed like one whole, just an OVA to a beginning of an ongoing series. I could watch a series of just shorts of him traveling around to different places. And even if he had a partner or not, like, or maybe like revolving companions like Doctor Who. Yeah, I've been way into some Doctor Who lately. this concept, I love the concept, but its implementation kind of, well, sucks. This movie also tries to show many messages, such as, you know, the primitive need of religion, or primal instincts, or basically, like I said earlier, feelings, even without having the words to convey them. It's just something that's naturally there, that's naturally part of us. But there's a lot of babble and speeches and basically just throwing the message in your face. And plus, the pacing's kind of weird. I don't know, kind of seems slow at parts and faster at some parts. In other words, I think this movie, if it was rearranged in a better way, you know, I think it could have been better. And plus, did you really need that scene? Yeah. Am I the only one who thinks the English dub, in the English dub of the main guy character, sounds like a fucking goober? I mean, I know it's trying to get that childish voice because, you know, he had to relearn everything. I really don't like it. Luckily, there's very few speaking roles because only about, I think, 5 characters actually speak. Everyone's just like, and so on, in different tempos. And the animation, good at some places, wonky at other places. It varies. It goes up and down. Not good, in my opinion, because some places, like, that could have been better. But then again, sometimes I'm just a bitch. This could be just me being a bitch and a snark. But some scenes weren't that good. Also, overall, I think it's really, it may be considered a classic because, well, it came out, it does have an original concept, but it could have been better implemented, in my opinion. I think this would have been better as a series, a short series, maybe even 13 episodes of something, instead of just 80 minutes of this. But because of its original concept, I have this liking towards it. It's like kind of a nostalgia liking. This is one of the first anime movies I've seen. And I guess that's about it. The character designs I also really didn't like. Alien chick. I really don't like her look. And the hero. Looks like they just took some American hero looking person from an 80s movie and just put it in this anime, in my opinion. I don't know. I can't really give this on a scale. Let's just say you can look at this on a classic level, and some people really love this film and surprisingly love that ending, because I really personally hate that ending. Some people watch it to be like, man, that was a really good movie and a great science fiction. Oh yeah. And some people are like, oh my god, let's blam this to hell. Let's snark at it. Yeah, I wrote in my Twitter one day, I'm watching a woman named Amnesia. I really had someone I was snarking with. I wish I had someone sitting next to me to snark with, because that's why movies are fun. With friends, anyway. I saw Mamma Mia this weekend, right? And I knew this was going to be kind of campy, because it's a musical movie. To tell the truth, I like musical movies. I've seen Rent at least 20 times. I've seen The Producers at least half that much. And, yeah. And if you could count Monty Python's Meaning of Life, because it does have some musical scenes, nah, I'm not going to count that. Every sperm is sacred. But, yeah, that was beyond what I thought. I mean, I only went to see it because I like ABBA. Don't make fun of me, I will kill you. I like ABBA. And it was one of those plays that just came every year and everyone was like way into. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna see this movie. You know, I know it's gonna be a musical. But wow. There's so many parts I just wanted to make fun of it. The part that just cinched it for me in the crap-o-meter is the whole men marching down the deck, or whatever you call it. You know, that little thing on the water. Yeah, they're just marching down in flippers in their synchronized dancing. The part when all the villagers and the main characters just pranced around the little village singing Dancing Queen. Any part where your platform shoes was over 1 inch. Yeah. And it kind of felt like just an elongated sitcom with music. Well, ABBA music to be exact. And dance scenes. Where people just... Just say you're two people on the beach singing some sort of soliloquy to each other. And next you know, people jump out of nowhere like the ocean and beat a chorus. That type of shit. Why am I even talking about Mamma Mia? This is fucking anime podcast. So, when named Amnesia, see it? It's not a huge waste of your time. Fun to snark with it, friends, or, you know, you could see something very profound, but the message is kind of beaten in your face and kind of dumb and better implementation, and I just give it a meh. But also, I got some first impressions here. One of them's a re-first impression. Second impression, I should say. Lately, I've been watching... Let's have a drum roll. Wedding Peach. Don't hit me. Wedding Peach. Yeah, I said it. Motherfucking Wedding Peach. This... Well, when I first saw it back in... I think it was 04 or late 03, I'm not sure. I was like, oh my god, this is like a knockoff of Sailor Moon. Oh, this is so stupid. Love Angels. Saint something four. Oh, they're trying to get a ring and they're all in high school and in love and with some one guy and they have chick fights all the time. Oh my god, this is stupid. Those uniforms suck. Oh my god, she doesn't even have pigtails. About two episodes later, I was like, okay, I think I like Wedding Peach. It's cute and this stuff. And I don't mind the whole love wedding theme. Yeah, this is not my opinion. This is not one of the best Magical Girl shows ever. But then again, Best and Magical Girl, well, yeah, they do go together in some aspects, but in some aspects they don't. I love Magical Girls, though. Sailor Moon was one of my very first anime. Before I knew what anime was, I watched Sailor Moon. I didn't really know what anime was until the Pokemon generation came to fruition. But yes, Wedding Peach. Basically, this girl named Momoko. She has this ring because her mom, from when her mom died, and she's young, in love, have two best friends, who are also girls, of course. And, you know, evil guys like, I'm gonna get you. I have been sent from this evil villainess to take all the love out of the world. Da 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 da. Hi, we're an angel from heaven. Here, have this transforming DDD. Transform! I wear a wedding dress, and I fight you with love waves. Yes, love waves. Out of your... just bouquet. Yeah. I was like, this is some kitschy shit. But for some reason, it just kind of drew me in. It's my magical girl curse. It's my curse to love all that is magical girl. I gotta do a whole month of Magical Girl shows one day, but I think listenership will go down like twice, double-fold. But yeah, Wedding Peach, I've watched the first three episodes again, and I haven't watched Wedding Peach in years, so this is like a renewed of me. And I remembered some things of the series, some aspects I kind of forgot. Basically, if you have like little sisters, or say if you're like me and will never give up their magical girl roots. Oh man, Starlight V, here she comes. Yeah, back in like when I was 14, 15, still way into Sailor Moon because it was showing on Toonami at the time. So I got my second chance to see it since I was like 7 or so, I don't know. My first handle online was Starlight V. And I was like, yeah, Starlight V, that's going to be my magical girl name. And I, like, drew myself as a magical girl. My friends who were originally named, yes, the very original name, Moonlight and Sunlight. Yeah, I know. Very unique, isn't it? And we would go and save stuff with our magical girl powers. Yeah. I was a fucking geek. Leave me alone. The next little anime I want to do a first impression on, Hell Girl, Jigoku Shoujo. I was bored yesterday, waiting for the computer guy to come. Well, I was over at my boyfriend's house. I was like, waiting for the fucking computer guy, because he's at work, he asked me to do this. I just trolled around on demand, seeing what was on, found IFC. I was like, okay, I forgot, IFC, because I barely watched television. Yesterday was like the first time I watched a significant amount of television in a day. And Hell Girl was on demand. Right now, if you have Comcast, IFC, for free, 4 episodes of Hell Girl, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of the first season. I really wish I'd known this earlier so I could watch 1 and 2. I'm gonna have to backtrack and watch the rest of this, but wow. Now, Jigoku Shoujo, as I could tell, is short stories, like episodic. Every episode is a different story surrounding around Hell Correspondence. At midnight, you go to this website, you type in the name of the person you want vengeance on, Hell Girl comes, gives you the straw doll, and here's the catch. You take the red string off the string doll's neck, and that person will go to hell immediately. But when you die, you have to go to hell as well as payment. Really sucks. But some of these people were very desperate. I mean, it's not like the people they were getting vengeance on didn't fucking deserve it. Maybe not to the point where all of them to the point of going to hell. They were going to hell either way. You just quickened the process for him. But, yeah, still, I wouldn't do it because I really don't want to go to hell. Well, I don't really think hell exists. Whatever. Yeah, I really like this. The art? Love it. The concept? Love it. Do I want to see more of it? Yes. And I heard there's another season after this. And I know there's probably a third season coming, I think. And there's DVDs out, which I want. I really, really, really want. Jigoku Shoujo, I suggest checking that out. If you have On Demand, that's great. It's already up. Go to your little On Demand. If you don't, or if say if you have Fios, because I don't know what's up with IFC there, if y'all have IFC On Demand, I guess if you have digital cable, it should be On Demand. But if you don't, just Netflix the DVDs, or check them out on the internets, if you want to be a dirty pirate. Nah, I can't talk because as we speak, I may or may not be getting this movie that was recommended to me. This awesome movie that was rigged to me today. All right, I think that's about it. Okay, everybody. Little Metabits. I added my Twitter to my page. Hooray! Otakon's coming soon. Woo! I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow. Yay! Wish me luck on a job interview. Woo! And I can't think of anything else to say. Cue closing music. Take it to the